In the book of Daniel, we'll read Daniel chapter 12, and the sermon will focus on verses 5 through 13 of chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, hear now the reading of God's holy word. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream, "How long shall it be till the end of these wonders?" And I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the stream. He raised his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and swore by him who lives forever, that it would be for a time, times, and half a time, and that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things would be finished. I heard, but did not understand. Then I said, "O my Lord, what shall be the outcome of these things?" He said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall purify themselves and make themselves white and be refined, but the wicked shall act wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but those who are wise shall understand. And from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away, and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, and you shall rest and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days." This is the word of the Lord. Would you please join me in prayer for the illumination of his word? Father, we cannot understand your word unless your Holy Spirit illuminates it for us and puts it into our hearts. And so, Father, we pray that you would indeed send your Holy Spirit so that we may understand your word, that we may be comforted by its promises, that we may honor its threatenings, and that we may live in the way that you call us to live, that we may be confident in you to follow through on all your promises to your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, in chapters 10 through 12 of this book, Daniel has seen a vision that portends great trial for the saints. Now, much of the vision that Daniel has seen covers the events leading up to the middle of the second century BC. And during that period of time, control of Judea went back and forth as the northern Seleucid Empire and the southern Ptolemaic Kingdom engaged in a geopolitical tug of war. So there was no political stability for God's people during those centuries. They lacked a throne. They lacked a king on the throne of their own land. Nevertheless, even during these dark times, the people of God enjoyed a fair measure of religious toleration. They were, for the most part, permitted to worship according to the way that God had commanded them. And yet this ended under the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes. Now, he had gone to try to conquer Egypt, and Rome effectively stopped him, and so he went back to Jerusalem in high dudgeon. And when he gets to Jerusalem, he finds that the high priest that he had appointed was instigating a rebellion against him. And so twice humiliated, this Antiochus Epiphanes made the streets of Jerusalem run with blood. The apocryphal book of 2 Maccabees reports that 40,000 Jews were killed and that another 40,000 were sold into slavery, including both children and the elderly, as well as women. He defiled the sanctuary. He stopped the daily offerings. He sacrificed pigs in the temple, and he erected a monument or perhaps an altar to Zeus in place of the altar that was in the temple. And yet, despite these horrific evils that were perpetrated by Antiochus Epiphanes, we read in the first four verses of Daniel chapter 12 that there is an even more horrific trial coming for God's people. A trial that is going to make even Antiochus Epiphanes' persecution look like petty schoolyard bullying. Well, trials and persecution are the reality of the life of God's people. And so this vision provokes two questions, which we read here in verses 6 and 8. Because we still live in a time of trials for God's people, these are questions that we may be asking from time to time. And so first, how long until the foretold trials end? And second, what will be the outcome of these trials? And these two questions serve as a very nice capstone for the book of Daniel because they encompass the two great themes of this book. And so as we finish off the book of Daniel, we will look at the responses of these two questions. And so first, to the question, how long? We see the response that it is God who is in control and that he has appointed the time. And in consideration of the question, what shall be the outcome? We see the response that God provides wisdom for his saints to endure the great persecution as well as the smaller trials that come along the way. Well, first, the question, how long? For in verse 5, Daniel and the man in linen, who is the pre-incarnate Christ, they are joined by two angelic beings, one on either side of the river where Daniel stands and Christ is in the air. And one of the two asks, how long shall it be until the end of these wonders? He's asking how long it will be until the end of this cataclysmic persecution. Well, this question, how long, comes up regularly in Scripture, doesn't it? Sometimes it's the cry of one person on their own behalf, such as David's lament in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Other times it's asked for all of God's people at one particular time, such as when Isaiah asks God how long he is to proclaim judgment to the people of Israel. But sometimes the question covers all history and the entire invisible church, as we read in Revelation that the martyrs cry out, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And so this question, how long, is a question that's appropriate to address to God as you deal with things you hope he will resolve tomorrow, as well as the things that you count on him to resolve at the end of the age. And so the man in linen is asked, how long? And yet, the curious thing is, he doesn't put a date on it. In verse 7, it says that he raised his right hand toward heaven and swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. Well, this teaches a very important point. It teaches us that God is not a fortune teller. He's a promise keeper. He does not reveal the precise timing of his plan. But he does show us that he has everything under control and that he does promise to preserve his people. As we read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, God gives prophets knowledge of the future in order to prove that their messages come from God himself. But the point of this future telling is not to give you confidence out of knowing the future. The point is to give you confidence in the God who has your future under control. And so it's significant that the man in linen raises both his hands toward heaven when he gives his response. If you've ever taken an oath, you know that you raise your hand to take an oath. And in Scripture, we see places where God does this too, such as in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 40, where God says that he lifts his hand to heaven and swears to take vengeance on his adversaries for the sake of his people. But here in Daniel 12, he raises both his hands. And so commentators have suggested that here he's intensifying his oath, making, if it were possible for God, making an even more solemn promise that he will bring an end to the persecution of the saints. And he makes this promise using familiar words. It will be for a time, times, and half a time. Previously in Daniel, this span of time has been indicated in chapter 7, verse 25. Now, it's sometimes taught that this refers to a specific period of time, often 1 year, 2 years, and half a year, or a total of 3.5 years. But the Hebrew word that is translated time here does not mean a year specifically. It doesn't mean any particular span of time specifically. Instead, it refers to any appointed time or place, and it could be a day, it could be a season, it could be a longer period. We read this, for example, in Genesis chapter 17, where God says, "I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time." That's the same Hebrew word, next year. Or in chapter 21, where it says, "Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him." And so this is a word that refers to God's appointed time without specifying the duration. So I think that Edward J. Young put it best. Antichrist, the one who is behind this persecution, will have his way with the saints for a while, and then a while longer. And then when it seems it will go on for a while longer still, it is suddenly cut off. It's a description of a time span that emphasizes God's definite plan without revealing the exact dates. And it's so important to see how that half a time is cutting off the persecution as though it were just getting started. Antichrist will be cut off just in the nick of time, for it says that it will happen with the shattering of the power of the holy people. But we've seen this word also elsewhere in the Scriptures, in Psalm 2, where God promises to his Son that you shall break the nations with a rod of iron and shatter them like a potter's vessel. And so Antichrist will be on the cusp of doing to the saints what God promises instead to turn about and do to the wicked nations. So there's the response to the question of how long. Even at the final calamity, God keeps all his saints under control. But he will only do it when things seem darkest. But next, Daniel has a question of his own to add, as we read in verse 8. "For after hearing that God has a definite plan to end the persecution of the saints, Daniel does not understand." And so he asks, "My Lord, what will be the outcome of these things?" Daniel has seen the vision, but its significance has not been fully revealed to him. But what is he told in verse 9? "Go your way, Daniel." Now, he's not rebuked for asking, but the specific answers that he's seeking are not forthcoming. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know everything. And so I find it comforting that a godly life does not require complete understanding on our part. So Daniel is told to carry on his life of prayer and wisdom. God's word is practical. Daniel isn't going to face the trials that he has foreseen. Rather, he will face his own trials. And so God did not inform him how to face the trials he won't face. But he was encouraged in facing his own. And as for you, though, God and his word and his Holy Spirit equip you to face your trials. For God does make a promise about this to Daniel, that some will have understanding to be pure and wise, and others will not understand and shall act wickedly. So God promises that he will provide future generations what they need to be pure and wise in the midst of these trials. Now, this is hinted at already in the reference to God's holy people in verse 7. Now, the power of the saints may be in the process of being shattered, yet they retain their character as holy. Suffering does not lead the saints to forsake God's ways and respond to the world in kind. Antichrist may do great evil to the saints, but the saints do not fight fire with fire, so to speak. It's as Peter wrote, "Do not repay evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, so that you may obtain a blessing." Now, it's good to think in advance about how you'll respond in different situations that you might face. As it says in Isaiah 32:8, "He who is noble plans noble things, and on noble things he stands." And just as Daniel did, you can ask questions of God. In verse 10, God does promise that the saints will understand. Now, you shouldn't expect to hear a vision or hear an audible explanation the way that Daniel did. But you can ask God your questions and trust him to provide the answers that he needs in his word. The Westminster Confession of Faith says that the whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for his own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life, is either expressly set down in Scripture, or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture. Everything that you need to know to walk faithfully with God is found in Scripture. And I think it's actually worthwhile to even address questions to God in prayer as you study the Scriptures for answers. And indeed, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is to enable us to understand the Scriptures, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Another way to seek God's understanding is to ask for the advice of your brothers and sisters. A little background, I teach singing lessons for a living. And a couple years ago, I got an email from a prospective student asking me if I could teach her and her husband some songs that I read, and I knew, well, that would be false worship. Now, I knew that I couldn't teach them in good conscience, and so I was going to refuse. But I still asked a couple of friends for help so that I could rephrase that refusal with appropriate respect and gentleness, as 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to speak to people about the hope in us with gentleness and respect. And my friends helped me, and my response was refined by that help, and I believe was more pleasing to God as a result. So this combination of knowing God's words and getting some helpful advice from my brothers led to a God-honoring response. Now, as good as it is to be prepared, do keep in mind that God often only gives the help that we need to face trials as we face them. Jesus taught his apostles this very thing in Luke 12. He says, "When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." We don't have the wisdom we need to endure every situation until the time comes to endure it. And so there is much benefit to leading your life always so that you walk in step with the Spirit, rather than trying to game out every possible scenario so you can have a plan of action. And at this time in salvation history, God has indeed opened the way for you to walk in the Spirit of Christ. For in verses 4 and 9, the man in linen tells Daniel that the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. The vision was meant to be recorded and preserved for the people after Daniel to understand. And now God has revealed and given you more understanding than Daniel, for he has revealed to you Jesus, his Son, and our Redeemer. It says in Hebrews 1, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God has spoken to us by his prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. And so today we have a fuller picture of God's purpose for his people, because in the Scriptures we see Jesus. We see the one the Father sent to be the Redeemer of his people. Daniel sees him now, and he saw him in chapter 7, arriving on the cloud to the heavenly court to be made king over all of God's people. But Daniel never saw with his own eyes all that there was to know about Jesus. For Daniel didn't see his obedience in sufferings. Daniel didn't see his wisdom as he refuted his opponents and taught his disciples to walk in purity and wisdom. Daniel didn't see how he served as our high priest by sacrificing himself on the cross. Daniel didn't see that he would only come to his exaltation through death and through being raised again from the dead. And so Daniel didn't see how Jesus' humiliation is what led to his exaltation. And that in these things, Jesus gives the response to both questions. For Jesus responds to the question, how long, with, behold, I am coming soon. He will come and deliver his saints from the persecution that they face. And Jesus responds to the question, what shall be the outcome of these things? By giving wisdom to the saints to be purified and refined. For Christ crucified is the wisdom of God and the power of God. And so if you put your trust in this crucified Christ, you can have every confidence that God sends his Holy Spirit to you so that you too may endure in faithfulness, so that you may have understanding in God's word, so that you may walk in purity before him. And even where you fall short, his perfect righteousness is credited to your account, so that ultimately, by his grace, you endure whatever trials you face. These are not things that you can do under your own understanding, but you can lean on Christ's understanding and trust the things that he has said in his word. And this brings us to the last two verses of the entire book of Daniel. Now these days that are named in verses 11 and 12 speak of the regular burnt offering being taken away and the abomination that makes desolate set up. And so it seems clear that these are references to the persecutions under Antiochus Epiphanes. And yet they still point to something beyond that specific time. Jesus refers to these words in speaking to his apostles. Now I've read a large number of commentaries. I've tried to figure out what exact events in time these days refer to. People have added up the number of days from historical records and everything, and some of the commentaries don't even bother addressing exactly what these numbers of days refer to. God did not intend to teach us to identify a specific pair of events or trio of events with these numbers of days. Just as with his time, times, and half a time. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to emphasize God's perfect plan and his control over the events of history. And yet one thing does seem clear. The reference to days, well, a day is a specific unit of time. times is not a specific unit of time. So this reference to days suggests a shorter period of time, or a shorter period of time than the more indefinite times. And therefore, it seems that he's referring to the smaller persecutions that point to the great persecution that is going to come. For just as Jesus was typified by the prophets, priests, and kings who came before him, Antichrist himself is also typified by wicked rulers like Antiochus Epiphanes and the others who persecute the church before Antichrist finally comes on the scene. John wrote, "As you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. But God gives you understanding to endure and to be faithful in these smaller persecutions, just as the same that he promises understanding and endurance to the saints who will face the big persecution at the end of history." And so just like the saints who endured Antiochus to the end of the 1,335 days, you who endure to the end of whatever trials you face will be blessed. And so these are the great themes of the book of Daniel. God is in control over history, and he gives wisdom to his saints to navigate the challenges they face. And as Daniel approaches the end of his life, he, in his own life's course, has exemplified confidence in God and wise faithfulness to him. And God has preserved him. Daniel has endured 2 empires and 5 kings. He's outlived them all. And in verse 13, he receives a promise that though his body will rest in the grave, yet he will stand at the end of the days. He has been promised eternal life. The same promise that God makes to you in Christ, whether you live through the last days of history or you die before they come. And so you too can go your way in whatever time God has allotted to you. And by faith in Christ, you will stand in your place at the end of the days. I have lots of questions. Especially when I was a kid, I was absolutely full of them. And my mom and dad are wise people. They knew how to preserve their sanity. And so when I asked how a carburetor or a battery worked, where did they say? Well, we have a set of encyclopedias. Go look it up. Well, the questions, though, that we're dealing with here, you don't find them in World Book Encyclopedia. And as much as I enjoy Wikipedia these days, you don't find them there either. But where do you find them? You can find them in the scriptures, in God's word. The answers that we really need are found there. Sometimes the answers that we seek are hidden in God's counsel. But even in that case, we can be confident that whatever we need to endure, God gives it. We do live in the last days. Nobody can say whether we live in the very last days. The days of these cataclysmic persecutions that are foretold for the saints. But we have been in the last days ever since Christ ascended to heaven. And so God has shown us at least some of what was left hidden to Daniel. For Daniel was instructed to seal the vision. But what do we read in Revelation 22? John is commanded, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. Let the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy." And so in that sense, nothing has changed. God, the time is near, and it is fully under God's control. He has secured his good outcome by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he alone gives wisdom and strength to his holy ones to repent of their sins and to walk in the way that pleases him. Would you please join me in prayer? Father, we thank you and praise you that you do give us all that we need, all the wisdom that we need to walk in righteousness before you. And Father, we praise you that you have everything under control, that even when it seems like the whole world is going crazy, yet to you, all things are under your sovereignty, and you maintain perfect peace and purity. And so, Father, we pray that you would strengthen us, that you would bring us to repentance of our sins, that we would lay them at the feet of the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ, and that we would go forth out of this place full of confidence as we follow you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.